Well, here on the program yesterday, we heard the alarming results of a national study that found workplace exploitation of international students and backpackers was endemic. One in three of the 4,000 workers surveyed said they were paid on average around half the minimum wage. That's about $12. The report titled Wage Theft identified issues in a range of industries, including restaurants and cafes, convenience stores, and in agriculture. The underpayment of fruit pickers and farm workers has been the subject of an investigation by the Fair Work Ombudsman, and the industry acknowledges more needs to be done. One of those farmers working for change is Alan Marney. Alan is a Queensland mango and blueberry grower and chairman of Bundaberg Fruit and Vegetable Growers. Alan Marney, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
Alan, the figures in the wage theft report were alarming, and the worst paid jobs were in fruit and vegetable picking and farm work, some of them being paid just $5 an hour. What do you pay your workers?
Yeah, they're on $22.50 an hour, so on the award rate.
So you pay the award rate. And how many of your colleagues, are you aware, pay the award rate?
All our compliant growers are on the award rate, and that's, you know, that's what we've need to discuss, really, compliance and non-compliance.
Yeah, and in terms of compliant, and I notice you say all the compliant growers, have you got any sense? I know you've been interested in this issue for a while. Have you got any sense of what proportion of the growers are compliant?
Yeah, it's a very, in our findings, it is a very, very small part of the industry that is non-compliant, and we've been working very hard for what seems to be too long on this problem to bring all growers and all labour hire contractors into the realm of compliance. It's a hugely diverse issue with a lot of, obviously, a lot of opinions.
And sorry to press you on stats, but when you say a very small proportion of the industry is non-compliant, what would you, where would you estimate that percentage to be?
It's you know, around 0.5% from what we see.
Oh, that's a tiny amount. So you think
most
workers on the fruit and veggie grower, with the fruit and veggie growers, are being paid the fair and the minimum wage?
Yeah, the percentage of compliant and non-compliant is very small, but unfortunately, we do see a growing trend where we are being made well and truly aware of the issue as it goes through social media and the like, and we're catching up and becoming more savvy on how we can track this, the real percentages down.
Okay, so just fair to say, if it is a tiny percentage that's non-compliant, as you say, then those growers who are paying a fair wage are not at a competitive disadvantage?
It's always a competitive disadvantage if you're paying more for your produce. If your cost of doing business is more to get your product to on the shelves, it's always a disadvantage.
Have you spoken to some growers, maybe some people you know, who aren't paying the proper wage, and asked them why they're not, what the pressures are?
Yeah, we have. We've sat in forums with a few labour contractors, not growers. This has been labour contractors, and, you know, tried to get to the bottom of this. There have been a couple of growers that actually came straight up and just said it's economic pressure. It's the cost of doing business. So we need to look at the problem as a whole, and there's a very, very diverse range of thinking behind this.
I'll come to the labour hire contractors in a moment. As you say, they seem to be integral to this problem. But the growers that say it's the cost of doing business, it's economic pressure, are they talking about or are any of these pressures, including claims that they're under pressure from the supermarkets, the big supermarkets like Coles and Woolies and other retailers who are, you know, putting the screws on to get the produce at a good price for them and for the retailer? We heard some outcry from some dairy farmers just yesterday about, you know, Coles and the impact the $1 a litre milk has had on them. So how much of it goes back to the retailers?
It's in your marketing plan. Some of it goes, there is a percentage of it goes back to the retailers for sure. But they're definitely not running this as central market pressures when there's environmental issues where you've got flushes of product as well. There's a percentage of the blame has to go onto the retailers for sure. But they're obviously not on-farm twisting anyone's arm.
No. Are the retailers interested in the compliance? Are they checking that?
Yeah, of course. We have very strict compliance rules with our QA systems, and part of those QA systems to be an approved supplier to the chain stores is social accountability. So it is a staunch regime that you have to go through, not once but twice a year, with WQA, SQF, and now the new HAARP system that's coming in, which is going to oversee a lot of this. But to be an approved supplier, you've definitely got to put it out there and put your business out there. What, where I was employed, we used to call it the wall of compliance. And unfortunately, there's there are ways around there. There's gaps in the system that we're working towards continually.
And how are the, let's talk about the labour hire contractors, because everyone seems to agree they're central to the non-compliance. How are they getting, what is the issue with them? How are they operating and how are they getting around the, or getting over the wall of compliance?
Well, again, there's a percentage of labour hire contractors, unfortunately, just there to take money from vulnerable people. But there's a huge percentage of really good and compliant labour contractors as well. So we can't put everyone in the same pen here, unfortunately. When we talk about compliance, a grower knows if you're paying the right or what you would think was a fair hourly rate for your workers, or a piece rate that was right for your workers. You know it. It's business. It's and you also know if it's wrong. So anyone that think a deal is too good to be true, obviously it is.
I've heard talk of labour contractors working hand in hand with backpacker hostels. Do you know what that means, what that's alluding to?
Backpacker hostel is main priority is to fill the beds that they have. So they work with labour contractors, labour hire contractors, to make sure they have work or assigned work for to get those rooms filled, to get those beds filled.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 13 past 8. Our guest is Alan Marnie, Queensland mango and blueberry grower and chairman of Bundaberg Fruit and Vegetable Growers. Were you shocked at that figure of $5 an hour, that one in seven of those working on the farms say they're being paid? Did that shock you or surprise you?
Nothing shocks me anymore. I've been working with this issue for over 10 years now. Industry groups have been, we've been rallying federal government and state government and even local levels to try and improve the way this is handled, make sure that naivety is taken out of the proposition between a worker, a labour contractor and a grower. It just seems to be a growing issue in the media, which rightly so. It needs to be fixed. But we need to get to the crux of the matter. Cost of doing business seems to be the main reason. It's not, cost of doing business, economic pressure is huge in the growing system. All of our supply chain can put up prices to the grower at any whim, and yet we can't pass on these costs. You would see it in your daily bills that come in from electricity and water and so on. Your insurance rates and things like that. All those costs need to be passed on, and unfortunately in agriculture we seem to be price takers and not price makers. So we need to change that, and with the help of the whole supply chain, we need to look at this holistically, and we've been trying to get all the stakeholders around the table for a fair while. It is working. Only 2 weeks ago we had National Farmers Federation, PMA, Queensland Hawk Council, which represents all the grower groups along the East Coast. We were actually there and had this on the table. It's not the first time. Let me be clear. It's not the first time where this issue has been raised.
No.
We have, like I said, we've been rallying behind labour rates, labour contractors and visas and types of visas. We've been on this for years. Come to a head now.
Yeah, sure, Alan. So what, when you say got to bring down the cost of doing business, how do you do that? Where are the elements where you could do that?
Yeah, we've been told in business to our efficiency has been a word now, and sustainability is another tag. we've been doing that to death, like to bring efficiency to a business. Yes, we can. Can we get it to the point where it's so efficient that we just can't do anymore? Yes, we can, with the technology we have available.
Yeah.
We search the world as a growing group. We search the world for best practices, and that's, you'll see it's being implemented as quick as possible, even down to naked product branding with laser branding. So you can actually, where the consumer can see exactly which farm or where it came from, whether that grower has sustainable practices, organic, traditional. Yeah. All that type of information we're trying to get the consumer.
And do you think that will make the difference? Let me just finish up on this, on the consumer, because yeah. It strikes, you grow blueberries and mangoes. Both yep. have been particularly cheap. Mangoes are particularly good and cheap at the moment. Blueberries have been cheaper than ever this year, I think. You know, three punnets for $10 is as cheap as I've ever seen it, really.
Yep.
How much is that? That's in the greengrocers and the big retail stores. Is that a fair price for what you're growing? And is that a price that reflects the cost of you doing business, or would three for $10, for instance, be a price that reflects people being underpaid?
Three for $10 is never a good price, or three for $5 is never a good price. Obviously, in the growing fraternity, we want to try and get as best for our wares as we can. We put heart and soul and money into every package that you see on the shelf. Pressure from, and this, again, this is a diverse amount of reasons for this. Blueberries is a growing market, and we haven't touched the sides of the volumes we can grow and the recipes we can make. There's a huge problem at the moment at this time of the year because we haven't got our gateway opened up for market access to the rest of the world, and we keep, there's been volumes of blueberries put in the ground to cater for our export market, as we are told by the stakeholders above that we are going to have access this year, and then it's next year,
yeah,
and then
right.
it's the I year see. After. So, unfortunately, the two commodities you've just mentioned, mangoes has got restricted export trade at the moment, and blueberries has very little.
Okay.
We can go to Singapore, but we can't go to the rest of Asia, and it gives other growing regions like Peru and Chile an advantage, a marketing right. advantage. We need to be the top player in blueberries so we can make the growth of the product and the availability of the product more versatile to our market needs right. instead of having domestic gluts.
Meanwhile, the domestic glut the consumer has been benefiting from, and I guess your message is for the consumer to be a little more conscious of the prices we pay and the comparisons of what that might mean behind the gate. Alan, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Alan Marney, Queensland mango and blueberry grower and chairman of the Bundaberg Fruit and Vegetable Growers. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 19 past 8.